always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Hello and welcome to a brand new week, Monday afternoon here on Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. I am Tony Columbo. You are Katie Fitzpatrick.
I am. Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. What a beautiful weekend.
Yeah. How was your Mother's Day?
It was awesome. David built a swing set.
Oh, nice job, Dave.
We were swinging. We were playing fetch with the dog. We were swinging and setting. It was great.
That is wonderful.
Did you guys have a good one?
Yeah, we did. We did some fishing last night.
Oh.
Yeah, this little spot by our house that we found. It's just a little subdivision kind of pond thing.
That's cool.
Yeah, caught a few fish, hung out outside. It was a beautiful day. And,
it was beautiful.
Hope everybody had a great Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And now we dive back into another crazy week, and we've got some great conversations coming up. We're going to talk to Virginia Curta from the Daily Wire in about 40 minutes at 2:45, and in just about 10 minutes, we're going to talk to Mike McCleary from Intervine. We're going to talk about Intervine, of course, but the reason I wanted to have Mike on today is because he is an AI expert. He has won awards for his work in AI. I'll let him tell the story, but he's used AI in his business at some pretty high levels, helping him write business proposals and things
crazy
like that. So his experience with AI is the reason I wanted to talk to him today. I saw a commercial last night on YouTube, and you know how there's a lot of commercials that are made by AI. This one wasn't. But there's a lot of commercials that are made by AI, and there's a lot of commercials about like stimulus checks or government programs, you know, like encouraging people to, hey, click the link below and see how the government owes you this much money, or see how you can take advantage of this program.
Mm-hmm.
If you're single and make less than $50,000, you can get $1,000 a week from you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those commercials. But it was all about an AI lawyer.
Oh.
It was like, hey,
wow.
I was in a car accident, or hey, I got these traffic tickets or whatever, and I'm just a poor, normal person. I can't afford a lawyer. Click below for this AI law service.
Ay, ay, ay.
And it was like, it was saying like, you can win money. Like, it was like, you know, testimonials like, the AI lawyer, and I won a $10,000 settlement, and I was like, this feels wrong.
Oh, yeah, snake oil salesman, that's what it feels like.
Like, pushing on poor people, or pushing on people who may have a legal issue that they can't afford, you know, legal representation for, or don't know how to, you know, get legal representation, to just say like, here's an AI computer program. It was, you know, it's a commercial, so you can't like rewind.
Right.
And, you know, and it just popped up out of nowhere. So I only had the one time with it, but I want to say it was like an app. And I mean, it was just, they were just selling this AI. It was like, now you don't need a lawyer because you've got this AI program.
It's crazy that we're
going to talk to you. And it'll just submit. It'll write the case. It'll write the submit it to the judge. When you show up to court, just give them the piece of paper that the AI wrote and you'll win your case. Like,
whoa.
I was like, this feels
icky.
So gross.
It's crazy that we're talking to Mike today because David and I are rewatching the Matrix trilogy.
Yeah.
And we started the first one last night. We've watched it before, but we're just restarting it. And I'm like, wait, am I an expert in AI now? Because I watched The Matrix three times, and that this they foretold us. They said the reason the downfall of humanity happened was because we gave away all of our powers to AI. And I have to ask Mike that question, because now it's two experts. It's me with my viewing of the Matrix, and Mike, who has actually done negotiations using it. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Are there more than three Matrix movies?
There are. They just made what propelled David and I to watch the first Matrix is because they made a fourth Matrix movie. Right. It's not the original three. Like, they have the trilogy.
Okay.
But they made the fourth one in like 2023. And David turned it on yesterday. And we're like, what the?
Can you call it the Matrix trilogy if there's four of them?
Yeah, but it's not
because
like,
the three are still this, they're three.
Well, it's
like standalone.
They're standalone. The last of the series for the trilogy was made in 2003.
Right.
So now, and it's not the same cast. They have Keanu Reeves and another person, but it's a different.
Oh, they do have Keanu Reeves.
They have Keanu Reeves, but they don't have Morpheus. Oh, right. They do have Trinity, but they don't have right. like all the other extra people.
Gotcha.
So I just say, I still say.
You say it, and that's all that matters.
I say.
It's four movies, but we're calling it a trilogy.
It's three.
Because that's what we say.
It's a trilogy. The fourth one
does not count.
Stinks.
It doesn't count. It's like reality. Rocky. You got to stop at four. Don't go to five.
Don't go to... Why'd they do the
Rocky movies.
One?
You can stop. You can watch one through four with Rocky. Don't go to Rocky five. It's bad news.
Bad news.
Even Sylvester Stallone said it was bad news. So anyway, looking forward to having that conversation, because there's just so much AI. And I will say this about Mike. Like, Mike presents, in the conversations we've had with him in the past about AI, the positive side.
Yes.
He uses, like, he usually makes me feel better.
There are good things
about AI whenever, after I have a conversation with him, because
that's what
I go into these conversations thinking doom and gloom. And did you see your girl would bring this up to Sheryl Crow speaking out against AI?
I did see this. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, you know, it'll take, you know, like.
There's got to be parameters around AI.
Parameters?
What did I say?
Parameters.
Oh, parameters. Sorry, parameters.
We're putting those parameters around the Matrix
parameters
trilogy.
Parameters.
How about we get AI into some stories here?
Please.
All right. Bad day for polling for Joe Biden today. I want to start with a poll from last week that I had on my, that I wanted to talk about late last week that I didn't get to sort of set the stage for these brand new polls this week. So, with 6 months to go until Election Day, the rematch between President Biden and former President Trump is as close as it can get, which to me, when I read that headline, all I could think is, how is that possible?
Mm.
How is it possible that it's 50-50 with this man that can't even, I don't care who his opponent is. Literally, I don't care. I get all the issues that people have with Donald Trump, but Joe Biden can't think. He can't think. How could he possibly still have half the vote? Anyway, the race is tied, according to a new poll, a poll released last week by USA Today and Suffolk University. Biden and Trump each stood at 37% support among registered voters across the country, with Democrat turned independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy at 8%, and 5% of the people backing other independent or third party candidates. So 37 for each Biden Trump, 8% for RFK Jr., and 5% split up between people like Cornel West and whoever the other candidates are. Quote, we're basically at the doorstep of this election, and the outcome is a coin flip, said Suffolk University Research Center Director David, I'm not even going to try to say that last name. According to an ABC News poll released last week, also Trump held a 46-44% advantage among adults, but Biden had the edge 46-45% among registered voters and was up 49-45% among those likely to vote in this presidential election. So again, I can't even, that makes no sense to me that it's that close with, you know, 6 months to go, because Joe Biden's just such a joke.
I just don't know what he has proven to the people that like him, or just the people that like the Democrat Party. You know, we always talk about this. You made a great point saying it doesn't matter who the person is, fill in the blank, but if they have a D behind their name, the Democrats will show up and they will vote for the ham sandwich with the D behind their name.
Mm-hmm.
And so that,
and I think that's a big part of this.
I do too. I think that that's the biggest part. But I also am trying to figure out what are the net positives that Biden has brought to the table for the Democrats, even in these last 4 years?
None.
So how is it that percentage?
If you are Jewish, you feel like he's turned his back on you. If you are on the other side, if you're pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, you feel like he hasn't done enough. So like these, like the protesters, he has, if you are on either side of the crime across the country, you definitely, if you are a pro-police, pro-law and order person, you definitely don't feel like Joe Biden's done enough for you. But at the same time, if you're somebody who thinks that everybody should just get, you know, just ask what their truth is and, you know, how are you feeling? Is this going to be, you know, why did you do these things? Oh, I understand. It's not your fault, and sent back out. He hasn't done enough for those people either. So it's like he's not kept anybody happy on either side of the aisle, on either side of any issue
for
his
years.
Whole presidency. And the economy's a mess.
Right.
Jobs are a mess. Inflation's a mess. The border's a mess.
Nothing's resolved. Nothing has been resolved.
So it can't be anything but what you just said, like this, the muscle memory of they'll vote
voting
for a D with a, you know, if it's a ham sandwich next to the letter D.
I think about Trump in the 4 years that he was in office. There's a lot of people, obviously, that didn't like Trump. And all of those people that didn't like Trump could turn the other way and decide to vote for him because of the successes he'd had on his receipts. Mm-hmm. You know, they were like, hate the personality, don't like the guy, but my pocketbook loves it.
But I like the results.
The pocketbook says yes.
I like the results. I like the policies.
But neither the personality is trumping, nor the pocketbook is trumping when it comes to Biden.
Biden has neither.
So what's the magic that's happening to get him a percentage?
So that poll was last week, and that was USA Today. Today, however, the new week, a very bad day for Joe Biden in the polls. New polls, plural, show Biden facing uphill battle in key battleground states as down ballot Democrats lead. That's the really intriguing and I think telling part of this story. Democrats hold a advantage in four of this year's crucial battleground Senate races. But President Joe Biden isn't getting that same good news. According to a series of polls released today, three polls all released today. One is from the New York Times, one is from the Philadelphia Inquirer, and one is from Siena College. All three of these polls were released this morning, and they all show the same thing, which to me gives, as I've always said, polls have lost a lot of credibility with me and I think with a lot of people over the last few years, rightfully so. But when there is a consistent through line, that's why I like the Real Clear Politics. That's why I always look at them, because you get that consistent through line of multiple polls from multiple agencies and multiple, you know, systems, or, you know, the way that they do the polling. And if they all say the same thing, then that starts to have some credibility.
Right.
So all these polls were released today. The Democrat incumbents or likely nominees in the Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin Senate races all lead their respective Republican opponents or hypothetical Republican opponents with less than 6 months to go until the general election in November. But the president trails former President Trump in almost every single battleground state. So, for example, Democrat Senator Bob Casey leads his Republican challenger, Dave McCormick, in that state, in Pennsylvania, according to these polls, 46% to 41%. And Wisconsin, the Democrat, Tammy Baldwin, leads the Republican, Eric Hovind, 49% to 40%. The races in Arizona and Nevada show the same. It's a little closer, with likely Democrat nominee Ruben Gallego leading Republican Kerry Lake 45 to 41%, and Democrat Jackie Rosen leading Republican Sam Brown 40% to 38%, those in Arizona and Nevada, respectively. The poll did not include Brown's primary challenger in the U.S. Okay, he's got a primary challenger, whatever. But still, in the presidential race, Trump leads Biden in head-to-head matchups in nearly every battleground state, including Arizona, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Georgia, and Michigan. So the crazy thing about that is the voters know the candidates. They're voting, according to these polls, for the Democrats in the Senate races, but they're not voting for the Democrat in the presidential race. So that means the voters are there. The Democrat voters are there in those states. Mm-hmm. And they are actively saying,
no,
not voting for Joe Biden.
No to Biden.
That is the, to me, that's the worst news that Joe Biden could have. Because if you just don't have the voters, if you just can't, if it's a red state.
Yeah.
And the Republicans are winning across the board. That's one thing. When all the Democrats in the state are winning, except you, that's a big problem.
I guess that this is what I don't get, though, is that Biden's entire presidency is far left light, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does, actually.
It's the beginning stages of what could happen if someone more far left came into power than Biden. He is the guinea pig for what this looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't like Biden, I guess the deeper question would be, are they doing it because of specifically Biden, or are they doing it because...
That's it. They're doing it because it's specifically Biden. It's not a vote against the Democrats. It's not a vote against the agenda. It's not a vote against the policies, because all the Democrat...
It's management.
All the other Democrat candidates are winning in those states.
It's just management that they're upset with.
It's just him. It's just Joe. Like, they either don't like him, or they don't have confidence in him, or they don't believe that he can be president for another 4 years. It's just literally about Joe.
It's not about the policies.
The policies or the party or anything. Which, that's why I say that is, to me, that's the worst case scenario it could be for Joe, because he's not losing on...
Talk about
issues. He's losing because they don't like him, they don't trust him, or they just don't believe that he can be president for 4 more years.
They probably don't think he's doing enough for the message. You know, the message.
Or they just don't. He's either not doing enough, or they feel like he's not capable of doing his job.
Think about being that Democrat, though. Like, rock and hard place for them, because it's not like it's Biden versus Tulsi Gabbard. It's not like it's Biden versus Ron DeSantis. It's Biden versus their mortal enemy.
Right.
Like, honest to God, Donald Trump is probably viewed as Bowser to these people.
For sure.
And so when you that has got to speak volumes, not only just about Biden himself and how detrimental Biden they feel like is to the party, but they're willing to not vote for Biden at all and maybe allow Trump to win because that's usually how much they don't like him.
It's usually the president. It's usually the top of the ticket that helps the lower. It's usually the Democrat or Republican presidential candidate that helps the Senate races and the congressional races and all the down ballot, helps pull them across the finish line. This is exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
The senators aren't having a problem.
Only
the president is having the problem.
Wow.
That is, I'm telling you, that is, to me,
wrong.
That is worst case scenario. If that is true, if these polls are an accurate representation of the feelings of the voters in those battleground states, that is the worst case scenario for Joe Biden.
Wow.
All right. We are going to get back into national and local politics. We're going to talk to Virginia Kruder from The Daily Wire in just a little bit, but we are going to talk about some AI. We're going to talk about some positives of AI and some negatives of AI, including that weird AI law firm that I first learned about yesterday. And we're going to have that conversation with our buddy Mike McCleary from Intervine next on Columbo and Katie.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Me, you don't know why.
You look so happy. You like this song?
This is a jam. But I don't think it's about something good. I don't think it's about something.
It's Uncle Cracker, right?
It's Uncle Cracker. It's Uncle Cracker.
What do you mean it's not about something good?
I think it's something. I think it might be something nasty.
Like doing it?
Could be. But, or something
I think
else.
There's a lot of songs about
someone
that.
Someone told me.
I think there's a lot of songs about doing it.
You're right.
I don't think that's an odd thing.
But it that or something else. I don't know. But, okay, I'm just
like
shutting
doing
up.
Doing it?
I'm just shutting
okay,
up.
Okay, all right.
This is where I am on my Monday. It's Uncle Cracker Monday.
We got to put some parameters around this. Welcome back to
I'm going to call you out the next time that you say something.
Oh, you should. And
I will.
And I do it. All the time. I did it in that last segment. I was saying like something about that when I was doing the poll story. I said a word. I pronounced a word wrong and almost called myself on it.
But you didn't.
I just kept rolling.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. That's Katie. I'm Tony. Welcome back to Columbo and Katie. As I mentioned, I saw a very interesting AI commercial pop up yesterday, and I wanted to talk about that on the show today. And so we reached out. I wanted to talk to somebody that knows more about AI than Katie and I do. And the number one AI expert in my life is Mike McCleary from Intervine. And luckily, Mike was available to join us on the line today. So Mike is here to help us navigate this scary new world of artificial intelligence. Mike, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing awesome, guys. Always happy to hop on and spend time with you two and all your fans out there.
Yeah, well, thank you. And real quick, because I was talking about it a moment ago when we were setting up this conversation. In the past, when we've had you on, we've talked about AI. I like talking to you about it. One, because I always like the media and just me myself, like not being very optimistic person in general, read these stories and it's usually pretty doom and gloom. You always bring sort of the positive side to AI and not only just like telling that story, but like from personal experience. So I know that you've won awards in the area of AI, that you've used AI in your own business for your own business purposes. Give us the Cliff Notes version of like how much you've embraced AI and how much you've used it for good as we, you know, as this becomes a part of all of our lives.
Yeah, you know, there's so many different ways out there. And don't get me wrong, it's not all seen through rose-tinted glasses because there's some scary things you have to keep in mind out there to make sure that we don't take a wrong turn. I'm sure we will at some point, but at least not a wrong turn we can't come back from. But once we started seeing the path down the road where things are going AI, we realized that as a business, we had to embrace it and figure out exactly like how can we use this not only to our advantage, but to our customers' advantages. Mm-hmm. How can we use this technology to make our lives better, their lives better? And there's so many ways out there with content creation, with giving people much better help, much better support, because we all hate talking to automated attendants, and AI can do that a lot better than these old like cable company automated attendants can do. And one of the good things I did too is like I used it for a company just in December for helping me negotiate a contract for our company with a $190 billion a year company.
Yes. Their, wow.
We're doing some content work for them. It was, you know, a really big company, does a lot of work, you know, internationally. And so they gave us a contract, and I could have given it to our lawyers. They could have went there and reviewed it for me. But we're talking, you know, a few weeks worth of $700, $800 a week. You know, I mean, yeah. Lawyer's time.
Yeah.
Probably looking at, you know, $10,000, $20,000. I took that exact legal agreement, uploaded it into ChatGPT, told it to be my in-house attorney and review it for fairness and any aspects of it that might be weighted in one party's way over the other.
Wow.
And it did a fantastic job. I mean, it gave me a whole list of areas that were of concern, and it also then gave me suggestions for how to rewrite it. I used that within one night. I made probably, you know, half dozen corrections. And then I finally had it reviewed by our attorney, and they looked at it and said, well, there's not really much we need to change here.
Wow.
It looks like a pretty fair contract.
Oh, my gosh.
I did not tell them that I used ChatGPT.
You know, well, I'll tell you what, Mike, that, money. To me, that part is the craziest part, because I would have guessed, again, I'm just layman. I'm used to there being products on the market. Like with Intervine, you have the superior Intervine products, and then you have like the cheap flashlights and lanterns and headlamps. So I think of everything through that maybe antiquated way of thinking, and I would think like ChatGPT is kind of like the Walmart of it's out there for everybody. It's cheap. It's everybody can go there. Everybody can use it, and I would have guessed like, okay, if you're going to like, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that AI is capable of that, but just the regular old ChatGPT, I would have guessed like you had to get like some kind of sophisticated AI, yeah, special legal edition, yeah, of AI to get that done.
And they,
but it's
that,
just regular, I mean, ChatGPT.
There's over $100 million invested in a company called Harvey AI right now. I believe that OpenAI, who created ChatGPT, were the first investors in them. They're a company that's investing heavily in building AI for legal matters specifically. Now, I think it's geared towards attorneys, letting them do their work better. But if you do a Google search, you'll see a half dozen other companies out there that will let you use their AI that has been specifically trained to give you legal advice, which is kind of crazy.
Well, maybe it's a version of that, because here's what piqued my interest and like got me interested again. This is one of those hot topics on Columbo and Katie. Like,
yeah,
women's athletics,
mm-hmm,
James Carville,
mm-hmm,
and AI.
Yep,
there's our we're nobody covers those three issues more than we do here. But the most recent time that I was sort of triggered about this issue was last night. I was watching YouTube and a commercial came on, and it's a commercial on YouTube, so you can't rewind. I couldn't watch it again. It was, so I only got the one time through. So, you know, I may not have got all the information, but it was basically one of those, we see those commercials all the time where people, there's like the person on the commercial is trying to get somebody to take advantage of like a government stimulus check, or like, hey, the government program that you don't know about, if you're single and make less than $50,000 a year, you can get $1,000 a week from this or whatever. Like, it was one of those, like, which I always feel like are kind of gross anyway, like those types of, but this was that for legal help. So it was like, if you have a traffic ticket, or if you have, you know, if you have some kind of legal problem and you can't afford a lawyer, download this app, and that's all you got to do. It bring the app with, like, literally it was like, bring the app with you to court and
let it solve the issue.
It'll take, and there's like people on the commercial like saying, you know, like, oh, I was, you know, somebody took me to court for blah, 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 and I won $10,000, and all I did was use this AI app. And I'm like, this is gross. Wow. And it seems very predatory. But I don't know, is it, maybe there's some legitimacy to that, maybe some legitimacy to the technology, but maybe not legitimacy to the company that's trying to use
this. No, I still believe, you know, I keep trumpeting the values of AI all over the place right now, but with cautionary tales, of course, but yeah. I still believe that if something sounds too good to be true, it is. And I highly doubt that you can really take your phone and an app into a law, you know, some kind of like, I don't know, courtroom. We got a 70-year-old judge who probably has never used AI who's going to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
I
don't see that happening anytime soon.
Mike, I wanted to ask you, you were talking about how AI has been so integral in the things that you've done with your company. What does AI look like in the standpoint of productivity for the future? Is this something that's going to be helpful for productivity, fast-paced moving, helping things, you know, in any company, let's say, get a better efficiency rate? Or is it going to be something that could be a possible hindrance in companies?
Oh. I mean, that's a great question, because I think that of all the areas that AI could help people, not only just in business, but in personal productivity, that's where AI shines. Think of it as creating a second brain, not something to do your thinking for you, but something to help organize your thoughts, put things in the right order. Imagine a tool where if you had a notebook where you just wrote random notes all day long about your life, about work. But if you could give that notebook to an assistant and they, within a matter of seconds, would go through every page you have notes on there and organize them, tell you the highlights, put them in the chapters so you can exactly see what the different things you covered that day are for. That's what AI can do. That's where it shines. It helps people organize things that are very unorganized naturally and put them in the best possible optimal order. That's kind of an oversimplification, but I think productivity is just an incredible use case for AI for not only businesses, but people in their own personal lives too.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Mike McCleary from Intervine about AI and its applications and its ability to take over the world. I hear a lot about, you know, there's a lot of concerns about the future when it comes to AI. I want to touch on a little bit like on the entertainment aspect of it, like music and all of that, and how Sheryl Crow was the most recent one. She was did an interview last week where she was talking about how there needs to be regulation on AI to stop it from, you know, like taking the jobs of every musician out there. But also I hear when it comes to AI a lot that AI is only as smart or can only go in the direction as much as it's programmed to, and that the knock I hear on AI almost constantly is that it's programmed to be woke. It's programmed to be more, you know, to have that more political, liberal identity and work that into every issue that it's trying to solve, every problem it's trying to solve, every whatever it's trying to solve. Is any, in your experience, just your personal experience in using AI, have you noticed any type of lean one way or the other, or has it been, you know, the pragmatic, down the middle thinking technology that it really is supposed to be?
You know, I've seen that definitely happen a few times, and it's by the companies that are creating these tools because they're trying to cater to who they feel their base is. You know, Google was the first one. They released, you know, some of their own technology that could create images, and I believe it was being asked to create images that were like representing the Holocaust and other things like that. And as soon as someone saw this graphical image they created, of course, you know, they threw it through a fit. They're like, you know, why are you putting these images in here that are like horrible images that no one should ever see? And so they pulled their technology completely. And so then they swing the other way. There's one time I tried to have ChatGPT create me a picture of an octopus and it wouldn't do it, because it thought that I was like asking for some kind of, using some kind of slang racial term.
Oh, geez.
Oh, wow.
So it's crazy. I have seen that. I think that they're going to have to navigate that pretty, you know, pretty trickily. I don't know how they're going to do it, because you don't want it to do everything, but you also don't want it to start going down one ideological path. Otherwise, what's the point of having it?
Yeah.
Katie, I have a teenage daughter, so I consider myself to be fairly up to speed on a lot of the slang out there. I don't know what octopus means.
Yeah. I couldn't even begin to tell you what that would mean.
I don't think I want to find out either.
But I think it's a great example of AI trying to
put racism and identity politics into the program.
It is, but it's also like, is it taking on, you know, a personality of its own to say, you know, this is something that could be equated to something racist or something bigoted or blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Now we can't compute this for your program or for the user. It's just insane that we're already there. We're at that level where AI is making a decision saying, no, I won't do this because it could be racist.
Right. But Mike, it sounds like it's, again, goes back to what program you're using and who created that program. It's not necessarily AI itself. It's just you got to vet whose AI you're using. Is that a simple way to put it?
100%. Yeah, it's not the tool. It's the people who are coding the tool. At the end of the day, AI is still a computer program, which takes computer programmers to make them. You know, eventually AI will start programming itself, but it's the people putting in these, you know, these kind of like ludicrous rules where it just makes the tool almost useless, because why would you want to? There are use cases where you need to create images of happy families, you know, using your products and advertisements. And the moment you go and say, you know what, I want, you know, an Asian family, a Caucasian family, an African American family, the tool, you know, because people want to have a varied interest of people out there. the tools start having problems with that. Maybe it's better now, but they do have problems because they think you're trying to come up with a predefined, you know, stereotypical racial look, and they don't want to do that for you. And it's kind of crazy. Like, yeah. Instead of letting people be creative, they're putting in these rules that are just going to cause more problems.
So last question for now. We've already gone a little bit long here, but this is just all so fascinating to me. And this is probably not a fair, you know, quick answer question, but it's definitely a where we can pick up the conversation next time we have you on. You know, a lot of people, like I mentioned, Sheryl Crow and other people, you know, have called for regulations to be put on AI. But which I understand, but I have the other side of my brain saying that regulating AI kind of defeats the purpose of AI, because you want it to, if you want to use the technology at its full capacity, you don't want limitations, because that's where these things happen. If you start putting, it's like, who's making the regulations? Are you going to start putting political beliefs and whatever regulations you're putting on? So I'm torn when it comes to how much we should regulate AI moving forward and how much we shouldn't. I think that that's a legitimate conversation and probably a positive thing to do, but it's also a very tricky thing to do. What are your thoughts on just like the future of AI and whether or not that's something that should be strictly regulated or if that defeats the purpose?
I mean, I'm with you guys, Stoney. Like, I know we have to have some controls around it. We have to. We can't let it run rampant. But I think the only thing I can say that I feel firmly about right now, I don't want politicians putting the controls in.
Amen.
That's where we're going to get into trouble. Yeah.
Amen to that. Well, listen, I appreciate you checking in with us kind of last minute today. I saw a commercial and I wanted to talk to Mike. So thank you, Mike. I know you're very busy. Thanks for stuffing us into the schedule today. Before we let you go, what's the latest at Intervine? What's happening? We are in love, and I think Katie tried to do some storm spotting last week.
Oh yeah.
And when the tornado sirens were going off before dawn, she was using her Intervine flashlight to try to spot the...
My daughter loves that flashlight, Mike. It's heavy, but my daughter is obsessed with that flashlight.
I was giving her a lot of crap because I was like, look, that flashlight does a lot of things, but I don't think it's going to spot the cylinder or the
funnel.
The funnel, you know, cloud the, from miles
like
away. Yeah.
That flashlight feels like a lightsaber.
It does.
It
makes it feel safer, though, so feel free to use it. I can tell you this, like, I want to make sure everyone out there, whether you buy Intervine products or not, have some lanterns, flashlights ready for the storm season.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of crazy that if you lose power, if something happens and something comes crashing down your house, you need that for lighting to get your family to safety. I don't care if it's mine. Just make sure you have some kind of flashlight and lantern around to find your way to safety should you need it.
Yeah, amen to that. And the lanterns are great, especially in a power outage, because those lanterns will light an entire room mm-hmm. or an entire section yeah. of your house, mm-hmm. you know, one at a time. And then having a good flashlight at home, a good flashlight in your vehicle. And, you know, like, I'm an outdoors guy. I mean, you know, a lot of your stuff obviously is very geared towards camping, or very useful, I should say, for camping and outdoors people, too. And this is the time of year for all of it. It's be prepared for storms, be prepared to have a good time in the great outdoors. And again, just a reminder, if you go to Intervine.com, Intervine.com, you can use my name, Tony, as your promo code, and you get 25% off everything. All the flashlights, all the lanterns, all the headlamps, even batteries in every size. Stock up by using my name, Tony, at Intervine.com. And Mike McCleary from Intervine, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. I look forward to talking to you again soon, my friend. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You bet. I knew he was the right guy to talk to.
AI.
He negotiated with a multi-billion-dollar company and used ChatGPT.
So wild.
And it worked.
So wild.
That's why he is more successful than me.
Same.
All right. We are going to talk to Virginia Kruder from The Daily Wire here just after 3 o'clock, so about 15 minutes from now. I can't wait to talk to her about this. Bill Maher has just declared himself the spokesman for moderates. A man who has built his legacy on being a progressive Democrat.
Okay.
I guess the party has moved so far to the left that now Bill Maher finds himself in the center somehow. And I have a fun story, a positive story for once, about these crazy protests. Florida police not having it. Right outside of Disney.
All right.
We're talking about protesters using Mickey Mouse to help them protest. And Florida police were not having it. I'll tell you the story next on Columbo and Katie.
You're listening to Columbo and Katie.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I should have been in the band. Welcome back to Columbo and Katie.
Oh, yeah. Oops. Should have been the lead singer.
I know, right? Welcome back. I'm Tony. That's Katie. We're going to talk to our friend Virginia Cruda from the Daily Wire in just a few moments. Again, some really interesting stories she is covering that I'm looking forward to talking to her about. Here's one that's near and dear to my heart, having a daughter that works at Disney World and lives down there at Disney World. This the protests found their way to Disney World over the weekend, and Florida police were not having it. Florida police arrested three anti-Israeli agitators on Saturday afternoon after they blocked traffic on Interstate 4 near Walt Disney World. This is a report from Fox 35 in Orlando.
All right.
They reported that troopers with the Florida Highway Patrol responded to the scene and found three women holding Free Palestine signs while blocking traffic in the westbound lanes of Interstate 4 at Exit 67, which is right by Disney World. The three women, here are their names. None of that is necessary for this story, but they're all in their 20s. 26, 24, and 24 were their ages, were taken into custody and arrested before being transported to the Orange County Jail and charged with misdemeanor refusal to obey a police officer. After the incident, police discovered two vehicles parked on the ramp to the interstate, which were then towed away from the scene. Good. There's video out there if you want to go and watch it. Video obtained by the station shows the trio of women all wearing facial coverings. Because that's the, like, we've talked about that a little bit. We've touched on it here and there. We haven't really made a big deal about it, but I know others have, and I'm glad they have, because I think it's important. What's with hiding your face? Like, all these protesters are hiding their faces.
I told you with the masks.
Yeah, no, remember? You're right. Yeah, you're right.
And I said with those stupid freaking masks. What are you doing? Either you're there and you're proud to be there, or you're hiding behind your mask or whatever, your scarf or whatever.
So this was typical of that, even though their mugshots clearly don't have their face coverings on. They were holding pro-Palestinian banners in the middle of the lanes on the highway near Disney Springs. One of them read Free Palestine, and between the two words Free Palestine had like the Mickey Mouse, like my tattoo there for people.
Oh my gosh.
Had like the Mickey Mouse logo between Free Palestine.
Oh my gosh. But seriously?
Seriously.
We can't even go to Disney World.
Yeah, and the video is great because these people are like, you know, they're doing the whole like, you can't silence us, we belong here, entitlement,
no, you don't.
Da, da, da. Like, no, you can't do this, you can't do this. In jail, arrested, taken away, cars towed, get out of the highway. People are honking their horns like, I mean, can you get, how many times do we have to talk about this? But can you just imagine being that person trying to get to work? Or maybe you're like me, and you're at the end of a 14-hour drive to Disney World.
I'm running somewhere.
And you're 20 minutes from
destination,
the resort.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you're in a huge traffic jam because somebody holding a Free Palestine sign with Mickey Mouse front and center is blocking your way, is blocking traffic. Like, you, come on.
And you're... your protest, your feelings, your angst about what's happening in this world doesn't mean that it has to interfere with a family vacation. It doesn't. The family vacation is happening to get away from the protesting, to get away from the war, to get away from the everyday life. And now here you are being rude AF, bringing it at my front door again. Do you not understand that your annoyance is not lending credence to your cause?
No.
It's making me be like,
makes me
flip
hate you.
The bird while I'm going to Disney World.
Yes.
I'm flipping you the bird.
Yes. I will never, ever, ever understand the thought process of blocking people's way to work or way home or whatever it is, where they're trying to get as a way to make them endear to your cause.
We're trying to get away from how that all is supposed of that to be for a minute.
Yeah, how that's supposed to make me like you or want to support you.
And why
it makes
there?
Makes no sense.
Why there? Why right. buy Disney? Why
well,
there?
Because they know that it'll be in the news.
And high traffic,
they know
I'm
it'll,
sure.
Yeah, they know it'll get attention. All right, speaking of the news, our friend Virginia Cruda from the Daily Wire has a new article out, a couple of them that I want to talk about. One about Bill Maher recently declaring himself the spokesman for moderates everywhere. He said, "I speak for the normies." Has he come to the middle, or has the Democratic Party gone so far to the left that the former very progressive Bill Maher now is in the middle and he never even moved? Very interesting stuff. We're going to talk to Virginia Cruda from the Daily Wire about it next on Columbo and Katie.